tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world.
When I am falling taking all I have, and now I'm laying it at your feet. You'll have every failure, God. You'll have every victory.
Welcome, Hope Show listeners. I'm happy all of you have tuned in to listen to the teaching of God's Word today here on the Hope Show. It's been an amazing week. Today's message is called, Stop Calling My Children Names. Let's go ahead and bow our heads in an opening prayer before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for waking each of us up today. Thank you for joining us here, all of us here together today, to honor, worship, and praise you. Thank you for this time of fellowship with one another. Dear Heavenly Father, please anoint this vessel, and may the words I speak come directly from you and not of my own understanding. Let your words move the hearts of those who are listening. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Thank you for joining me in this opening prayer. As I said earlier, the message is about stop calling my children names. And the message is going to be about self-image, self-worth, and self-esteem. We are all God's children, and yet we call ourselves such ugly names sometimes. We believe the lies that Satan puts into our head about how we aren't good enough or worthy of good things. Self-image is the idea we have about our own abilities, our appearance, and our personality. Self-worth is the opinion we have about ourselves and the value that we place on ourselves. And self-esteem is having confidence in our worth and our abilities. This is known as self-respect. Having good self-esteem is having confidence that I am who God says I am. It's not dependent on my own abilities, but instead on knowing that God will equip each and every one of us for the work that He has set out for each of us to do. There are many verses in the Bible to remind us of our identity in Christ and of the strength that God gives us as a child of the Most High King. Today's key verse is found in Psalm 139:13-14. It says, For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. Friends, I love this verse. You know, I have struggles just like all of you. Not any of us are exempt from struggles and trials and tribulations. There are days when everything about me feels just wrong or broken. There are days when I question, what am I doing? And for what reason? Feeling not equipped for the task. Wondering why I bother sometimes or what's the use. I have days when I feel down on my appearance. But as I read these verses, I am reminded that God created me just the way I am, on purpose. And He created each of you the way you are, on purpose. Not one of us is a mistake. Each of us were fearfully and wonderfully made by the Almighty God, who does everything on purpose. Friends, that should be good enough reason to walk straight and tall with your head held high. How many of you out there in the listening audience would honestly admit that most of us have struggled to see ourselves in a positive way one or more times in our life? Maybe someone out there is struggling with that right now. Maybe you're suffering from depression because of it. This isn't just an issue that teenagers suffer from. Adults struggle with the same issues. It's not just a girl thing either. Guys struggle with these issues too. Why does it seem like we're always under attack? Why are we always struggling so much with our own identity? The reason is that Satan wants us to second-guess ourselves. He wants us to second-guess God's plan for us. Satan is a liar. He wants to keep us confused, depressed, and sends us down a road of self-doubt and insecurity. How does he do this? The answer is that he bombards us with the worldly ideals of how we should look, how we should talk, how we should think, how we should dress and act. Is it any wonder that with all of that coming at us from all angles of our life every day, that we would begin to doubt our worth? The only way to fight against such lies from Satan is to know God's Word inside and out, to know the truth. In John 8:32, the Bible tells us, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And the truth is that God made each one of us in His image. He didn't make any trash. He makes beauty from the ashes of our lives all the time. Friends, we are oftentimes our own worst critic. We talk poorly of ourselves by telling ourselves such things, such lies, like, "I'm stupid. I can't do anything right. I will never be able to do this or that. I'm such an idiot." And then we get so frustrated and overwhelmed with ourselves. You know, I always say that where the mind goes, the body follows. And I believe that to be so true. Have you ever known a person who's just, their whole life is filled with negativity? They don't have anything positive to say about themselves, about their life, about anything. Their life is just filled with negativity. And they wonder why negativity follows them. That nothing positive happens in their life. It's because they are claiming those negative things. They are bringing them to pass. And so, like I said, you know, Satan is a liar. And he'll do anything to trip you up and make you fall for these lies. We believe the lies that Satan puts into our heads, don't we? It's a very slippery downhill slope. Another truth is this. Not everyone is good at the same things. God didn't make each of us with a cookie-cutter mold. Take, for example, my husband and I. He doesn't know how to cook. I do. He doesn't like hunting, but I do. He loves science. I'm not really into that. He loves mechanical things. I'm not good at that. You know? Not everyone is good at the same things, but everyone has something to offer to God's kingdom. He made us this way. He made us wonderfully and uniquely. We are so unique, one-of-a-kind humans. You know, just like the snowflakes in the wintertime, not one is identical to the other. Maybe some things come easier for one person, but not the other, but it's important to know that if God calls you to do something, He will equip you for the task. You don't have to worry about failing because God will see to it that you don't. Friends, we call ourselves such names as failure, fat, stupid, lazy, ugly. I'm always destined to be a mess up. I will never get it right. But friends, God says otherwise. God says we are a child of God. In John 1:12, God says we are a branch of the true vine, and those that remain in Him and He in us bears much fruit, because apart from Him we can accomplish nothing. In John 15:1-5, He says we are a friend of Jesus. We are an heir to the throne. We are accepted by Christ. Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. God calls us His beloved. His beloved. Can you put your head around that for just a moment? We are His beloved. The Bible is full of verses that say what God feels about us. God says we are valuable. In Genesis 2:7, the Bible says, I am the Creator and you are my creation. I breathed into your nostrils the breath of life. In Genesis 1:27, we are created in His image. In Matthew 10:31, the Bible says, you are more valuable than many sparrows. He has given us dominion over all sheep and oxen and all beasts of the field and the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea. We are more valuable than sparrows. Don't you think He must think pretty highly of us? Trust us greatly and love us a lot to give us such a responsibility. And yet the sad truth is that many of us, from the very beginning, have exchanged His truth for a lie. We have worshipped and served created things, made them our idols, sinned and fallen short of God's glory, have believed Satan above God. Yet He still loves us as a good father does, and He doesn't give up on us. Do you know, folks, that we represent Him? We have to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. What do I mean by we represent Him? As believers, we represent Him in the way we present ourselves to everyone around us. We represent Him by the way we talk and the way we act and the things that we entertain, the things that we listen to on the media or TV or the radios, how we respond to certain things when we get aggravated. We represent Him. We are supposed to be mirroring His character. We have to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, because if we don't, we can't do that. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And the enemy loves to attack our self-worth, because if he can get us to doubting ourselves and feeling terrible about ourselves, then we lose our focus on Jesus and Satan wins. But friends, God has deemed us beautiful worthy, loved, his child, royalty, his heir. Not by the standard of this world, but by our Creator. We need to stop beating ourselves up, friends, and try to see ourselves as God sees us, through God's eyes. We are the bearers of God's beauty. And that is more important than anything else. When we know what we are worth, things begin to change in our lives in big ways. Self-esteem is a way of thinking, feeling, and acting that implies that you either accept, respect, trust, and believe in God and yourself, or that you just don't. When you accept yourself, you will live more comfortably with both your strengths and your weaknesses, without thinking so poorly of yourself all the time. When you have a healthy self-esteem, you are able to accomplish so much more. You feel better about yourself. You appreciate your personal worth. You respect and acknowledge your value as a child of God. Friends, we need to focus on the positive in our lives. That is such a huge part of our lives. Thinking positive. Thinking negative doesn't get you anywhere except more of the same negativity in your life. It's like going on a vicious circle, like a little hamster in a hamster wheel. You go round and round and round and you don't accomplish anything. It's normal for everyone to struggle from time to time with our self-esteem. But before you know it, if we are not careful, negativity and excessive self-criticism can become habit-forming. And friends, I knew someone like that. I was close to someone like that. And it was so heartbreaking to listen to them, because, you know, they were basically living out of self-prophecy. You know, they were making certain things happen because they really believed the lies that Satan was putting into their head. You know, and like I said earlier, they wondered, you know, well, why is this happening to me? And they were angry, you know, and they were angry at God and you know, just always, why is this happening to me? I can't ever catch a break. You know, why does God do this? Why can't I get ahead? And it was clear to me why things weren't getting better. Because they spoke so much negativity in their lives. And they didn't want to hear about God for so, so long. Friends, if you are that person or you know of someone that's like that, whether they get mad at you or not, find a loving way to sit them down and share the Word of God with them and share the truth with them and try to help them to see the positivity in their lives, because no matter how bad your life looks or how much negativity you feed in your life, there's always something positive too. You know, for instance, you woke up that day. That's positive. You have enough food in your cupboard, you know, to feed your family. That's a positive. You have a job. That's a positive. You have a house. Some place to stay warm and cool in the summer and the winter. That's a positive. But you know, so many people that are caught up in the negativity, they don't think about those things. You know, they just think, oh, everything's wrong. You know, nothing will ever be right. You know, why me, why me, why me? And they don't realize how much they really have and how rich they really are. So, think positive, folks. Think positive. You know, the more focused we become on the negativity in our life, the harder it becomes to see the positive, like I just said. You know, it can seem so out of reach. I believe it's Joyce Myers, and I'm not quite sure, but I believe it is, that said that you can get over a habit in 21 days if you set your mind to it. And I do believe that it is possible, because I read this book, and I can't even remember what it was. It was years and years and years ago. And I set out to change something about myself. Now, of course, I didn't do it by myself. You know, I couldn't have done it by myself. It was all God, you know. But it does work, you know. And 21 days later, whatever it was that God had spoke to me that I needed to change, it was changed. You know, so I believe it is possible. With God's help, anything is possible. But you can't do it alone. It takes God's help. You have to have faith and trust in Him to get you through whatever it is that you're dealing with. And I wish I could remember. My memory fails me so much these days. But there's... I have a quote next to my bathroom mirror that I read sometimes. Or actually, I read it every day, but so you'd think I could remember it. But it says something about I can't remember. It's something about believing for what you ask for, even though you don't have it, because eventually you might have it, or something like that. That's not exactly what it was, but basically it's having faith that, and trusting in God, that which you ask for, even though you can't see it, and you know, maybe it doesn't look like you might get that, you know, if it's within God's will, you know, pray for it as if you already have it. And so, anyway, we have to have faith and trust in Him. Yes, focusing on the positive is a very important step, but it's only the beginning. Our self-esteem is due partly to the messages that we have heard and that we absorb throughout our lives. What did your parents believe in? Were they believers or non-believers? This is where your life began. What were you subjected to as a small child, through your teen years, and into your adult years? Were you encouraged, loved, praised, given positive feedback, and positive experiences? Or is your life rough from beginning to now? It makes a huge difference. It makes all the difference in the world, really. It's very important that you speak to those negative messages or experiences by caring more about yourself in ways that show you that you are deserving and worthy. You know, you can have two children raised by two different parents. Maybe they're neighbors. Let's just say they're neighbors, for example. And one parent, they had a tough life when they were growing up. Their parents did the best they could, but they only knew what their parents taught them, you know? And so you can only teach your children what you know. Now, I would hope that as we grow into adults, we would have more wisdom, and that we would think more, you know, and that we would try to follow as closely to God's character as possible. But sometimes it doesn't happen that way. And so you may have a family that, you know, say this mom or dad, their parents didn't treat them well. And so they don't treat their child well. You know, perhaps they're always downing this child, like, you know, oh, I wish you were smarter like your brother. Or, you know, you're so clumsy, you know, or why do you always have to do that? Or, you know, just, no, you're not old enough to do that. No, 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 you can't. No, you'll mess it up. You'll spill it. Well, then you have this other parent next door, and their parents came from a very loving Christian home, and they've got this child, and you know, they are invested. They are invested in God and in this child, and they're always telling this child, oh, you are so smart, and you can do it. Come on, you know. I know you can. Just try a little harder, you know. And feeding in to that child's positivity. And then fast forward to when they become, say, 25 years old. Take a look at both of them and the path that they have chose in their life. You know, because one was fed with negativity and one was fed with positivity. The one that was fed the positivity is probably doing better in life. And so, encourage, love, praise your children. Give them positive feedback and give them positive experiences from the day they are born. From the day that babies are born, they are learning. They are taking in their surroundings. So it's very important. Very, very, very important. Put Jesus first in your life. Put Jesus first in your child's life. Pray and spend time in the Word of God, getting to know God from the front to the back cover of the Bible. Have an intimate relationship with Him, because He is the ultimate great healer, physician, comforter, our rock. He never fails us. But some of the more basic things that you can do for yourself is, you know, you can get enough sleep. Because everybody knows that if you don't get enough sleep, you are not going to be your best. So get enough sleep. Eat healthy. If you eat a lot of junk food, you're not going to feel good. But if you, you know, eat healthy, your fruits and your vegetables, you're going to feel more energized and more ready to face the day. And exercise. And smile. Smile, smile, smile. It's free. And it doesn't, you know, take any time out of your day. Look at how you hold yourself. What does your posture look like? I know that it always makes me feel better about myself, if I'm practicing good posture, if I'm standing up straight. How do you present yourself to others? Stand tall. Look people in the eye when you're talking to someone. That is showing confidence. Hold your head up high. Respond to people with a smile. These are all indicators of a confident person. Friends, you can do this. Every single one of you out there can do this. It may seem hard, but it's like any other habit in your life. You can change habits if you really want to. Is God speaking to you about something right now? Is there some changes that you need to make in your life? right now. Are you always feeling anxious and uptight? Friends, I can't say this enough. Don't be too hard on yourself. Give yourself a break. Take time to relax and unwind. Take time every single day, and sometimes more than once a day. Spend time with God. Be always, always take the time for God multiple times a day. Be in prayer about what changes He wants you to make. And so while you are thinking about this for a moment, I'm going to go ahead and go on to a short break, and I hope that all of you will stay tuned in for the second half of today's message.
Child, hey, look up,
Welcome back, and thank you, Hope Show listeners, for staying tuned in with the Hope Show after the short break. If you are just tuning in today, our message is called Stop Calling My Children Names. Today's message is about our self-worth, our self-esteem, and our self-image. Today's key verse is found in Psalm 139:13-14. It says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well." And as I said earlier, you know, I really love this verse. We all have our struggles that we deal with, but this verse is so comforting and full of promise and hope. It's so sad that low self-esteem seems so common among our fellow brothers and sisters. But that does not mean that it is, just because it's so common doesn't mean that it's God's design, because it's not. God calls each of us to have an abundant life. We can't have an abundant life while living a life of low self-esteem, or low self-image, or low self-worth. As was mentioned earlier, lots of different experiences contribute to these negative feelings we get about ourselves. For example, childhood and past experiences, culture and media, family and friends, our belief system. But these experiences do not define you. You are a child of God. If you're feeling discouraged and weak about a situation that you face in your life, the answer is not to give up. The answer is to find hope in the Lord. If you seek Him and you ask for His help and direction, you will receive it. He will renew your strength and show you strength that you never even knew you had. This verse is found in Isaiah 41:10. "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Over and over, as you look through the Bible, when you're facing hard times, the theme is do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Our God is always with us. He is our help and our refuge, our rock and our healer. From the very beginning, God began a good work in each of us. So when you're feeling worthless, when you're feeling discouraged or defeated, rest in the truth of the Bible. We were created with purpose to do good things for the Lord. He started that work in each of us from the moment we were born, and He has not stopped carrying on that good work in each of us every single day of our life. That's pretty amazing. Can you think of anyone else who has invested so much time in you, has loved you unconditionally, has shown you such grace and mercy even when you haven't deserved it, who hasn't, not even for a minute, given up on you when you've done something truly foolish? Has anyone else pursued you so relentlessly while being rejected and denied? Friends, there is no other except our Most High, God Almighty. When people, friends, and family come and go, our Heavenly Father will not. He will stand right beside us, and that is where He will stay. When people and friends and family disappoint and hurt us emotionally, God will not. Because God puts our broken pieces back together again. He doesn't tear us down. In Philippians 4:13, the Bible tells us that I can do all this through Him who strengthens me. God is our strength. He will see us through every situation in our life. There is nothing too big or too small that He can't fix in our lives. We just have to trust and believe in Him. We just have to have faith that He can and will fix things in our life. in our human wisdom, our limited perspective, we lose faith in ourselves and others. But that is not where our hope rests. Our hope doesn't rest in our friends, our coworkers, our family, someone in our book club. No. Our hope rests in God. Our confidence comes from our faith, resting on God's limitless, almighty power. This is always working things out together for our good. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, the Bible tells us that His grace is sufficient for us. You know, you may be in a really tough situation right now, and you might think, where is God? Where is God in all this? Where's it going to end? How's it all going to play out? I don't see any good coming from this. But friends, even in this moment of time, even in the troubles and the trials and the tribulations, when it looks bleak, remember, always remember, that even though you don't see it and you may not feel it, God is already working all things together for your good. Be patient. Be patient. And whatever you do, don't try to fix it by yourself, because that will just end up poorly. God knows we are not perfect. God knows we are going to have days of doubt. God knows the number of hairs on our head. Can you believe that? The number of hairs on our head. Not just one of us, but all of us. Some days I can barely keep track of myself, let alone all the hairs on people's heads all over the earth. God is so great. God knows our thoughts, our heart. He knows what we're about to do, what we're about to think, before we even do it. We can't hide anything from God, because He already knows. Imagine for a moment, and for you parents out there, maybe you don't have to imagine, maybe you're living it, but imagine how it would hurt you if your child was always belittling themselves, cutting themselves down with words, talking negative about themselves, and calling themselves ugly names in front of you. Imagine if they took it a step farther and started harming themselves physically out of their own self-hatred. How would that make you feel? We love our children. We see potential and promise for each and every one of our children and for their lives. We see all their good qualities. We see their value and their worth. No matter what they do, we still love them, and we see that value and worth in them, even if they don't see it in themselves. And you know, friends, this is how God sees each of us. And it pains Him greatly to see us treat ourselves so poorly. We live in a time where everyone seems to be preoccupied with self-image. But in Ephesians 4:22-24, the Bible tells us, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on a new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." Friends, we can't be about the world's business and God's business at the same time. It don't work that way. We can't straddle the fence. We are either followers of Jesus or we are followers of Satan, but we can't be both. Satan would like you to believe that God doesn't really care about you, that you are unlovable and worthless. Satan wants you to believe that nobody will ever love you or that you will never be enough, that you'll never be able to change certain things about yourself. Satan wants you to believe that you will always be a failure in life. Satan wants you to believe that if people only knew the real you, that they wouldn't want to be around you and they wouldn't like you. But Satan is a liar. Not a single word of that is true. Friends, our churches are hospitals for the broken souls. No one is perfect. Everyone comes with baggage. But we are all in it together. You know, like the hospital that's nearest to your home. When you go to the hospital and you're hurt, they don't ask you, well, what awful things have you done in your life? You know, have you ever been to jail? You know, have you ever done this? Have you ever done that? Have you ever lied? You know, they don't do a background check on you when you go to the hospital. All they want to know is, where are you hurting? Where are you hurting? Let me help you. And the church is a hospital for the broken souls. We don't ask you what you have done in your past. We don't want full details. That doesn't depend on whether you will be allowed in the church or not. All are welcome in the church. All of us have been broken at one time or another. The church is the hospital for broken souls. When you start feeling these negative feelings come over you, you find a Christian friend or a pastor, and you sit down with them and you talk to them, and you tell them how you are feeling. I know it may be kind of awkward, but they're not there to judge. They're there to help you, help guide you to God, and help share the Word of God with you, and help you see yourself as God sees you. We are to carry one another's burdens, and we are all called to be one another's keepers. God loved us first, and we are to love one another and ourselves no matter what has happened in the past. The past is in the past. You know? And I always say, you know, if you're going to look in the past, don't camp there. You know, if you're going to look in the past, only do so because you want to see how far you've come, how far God has brought you out of the mess that was once your life. But don't camp there. The way we see ourselves affects every aspect of our lives. It affects how we see ourselves. It affects our relationships with others. It affects our relationship with God. Some of you may be asking how. And the answer is because if you have a poor self-image, you may often find it hard to trust God. You may even start to resent Him by saying things like, well, if you truly love me, why don't you change this or that about me? But in Isaiah 45, the Bible tells us, woe to him who quarrels with his maker. Does the clay say to the potter, what are you making? Friends, some of us trust in false mirrors. Sometimes these mirrors can't be trusted because what you see isn't true. Have any of you ever been to a carnival and looked into one of those distorted mirrors? Or went into one of those crazy houses with mirrors and things were not as they seemed? Have any of you ever believed that you've seen what you've seen in those mirrors and what you thought were absolutely true? The images you see at the carnival mirrors or the images you see in the house of mirrors, they're distorted. But if these mirrors are the only mirrors that you ever look into, then you'll begin to believe what you see to be true. One of the most influential mirrors in our life is the mirror of our parents. As I said before, our parents are the first and primary persons who shape our lives. It begins early when we are infants and are first building our sense of self-concept. Those shaping influences are strong, so strong, and many people will struggle with these self-images even as adults. They may struggle with them their whole life. But this is not how God sees us. God sees us as a gem, a treasure. You know, like I said, those shaping influences are so strong. And many people struggle with these self-images, even as adults, because of the hurtful way that parents or friends or neighbors or coworkers or whomever treat us when we were young and as we were growing up and even into adulthood. But in Psalm 27:10, the Bible says, "Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me." Isn't that beautiful? And you could take it a step farther, not even father and mother, you know, father, mother, brother, sister, grandma, grandpa, friends, spouse. Take it as far as you want. Though, fill in the blank, though blank may forsake me, the Lord will always receive me. Friends, don't let your past define your self-worth in the present. I just want to say one more thing before wrapping up today's message. And this is very, very, very important, so please listen carefully. Parents, I'm not trying to pick on you. But when you have a child, from the moment that child is born, this is where it all begins. It sets the stage for your child. You have a great responsibility to raise your children in a loving, encouraging atmosphere, to know God. You need to realize that the way you view yourselves can also have an impact on your children. Children's minds are so very fragile and impressionable when they are so young. You set the stage for their life from birth on up. So make a good impression. Always build your children up. Don't tear them down. Always be there for your children. Always encourage them and tell them how proud of them you are. Teach them the right to live, the right way to live when they become adults and they will not stray from God's path. Teach them that they are worthy and valuable and loved and smart and beautiful and beautifully made in Christ's image. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all those in the listening audience who tuned in and received your word today, your message today. Lord, I pray for all of us that you would help our souls be content. Help us to be satisfied with who we are in you and who you are molding us to be. May we never doubt our importance in this world. Remind each of us that we are a treasure that cannot be replaced. And remind us daily that we are a precious child of God, a one of a kind, We thank you in advance for these answered prayers, and in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Until next Saturday, same time, same place. Friends, may God bless each and every one of you and put a hedge of protection around you and your families. Stay safe this week.
My head. I never thought that I'd be someone who could be misled. I wanted the mirror to show me something I could not see. I needed explanations for expectations I could never reach. I know I'm not the only one who's ever cried for help, and Jesus did for me. Like you just feel like giving up. I know it's hard to see through what this world will tell you, 'cause misconceptions or false reflections will never be the truth. Just know you're not the only one who's ever cried for help.
beautiful.